I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we're going to tell you about little-known chapters in African-American history. The first of our Black History Minutes is next. But first, our weekly parenting segment, The Moms in Your Corner. Now, if you want to start a fight, and I mean a fight in a parenting chat room or a message board or even among friends, mention this word, co-sleeping. The subject seems to evoke more controversy than just about anything other than whether mothers should work outside the home. And a new report has added fuel to the fire. A new study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, being published in the February issue of the journal Pediatrics, reports a sharp increase in infant deaths due to accidental strangulation and suffocation in bed. Now, the study says that the rate of accidental strangulation and suffocation increased 4 times over the 20-year study period. And while the report does not directly blame co-sleeping or bed sharing with an infant, the increase does coincide with a reported increase in co-sleeping. Hence, some medical professionals are sounding the alarm and saying it is time to make a real push against co-sleeping. We're going to hear that perspective soon, but first we call Dr. James McKenna. He's considered one of the world's foremost experts on co-sleeping. He's the director of the Mother-Baby Behavioral Sleep Laboratory at the University of Notre Dame. And we're joined by two of our regular contributors, Jolene Ivey. She's one of the co-founders of the parenting support group, the Mocha Moms, and Leslie Morgan Steiner, editor of Mommy Wars. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Michelle.
Wonderful to be here.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Dr. McKenna, start off, if you would, by defining co-sleeping and tell us when it became controversial. Because, of course, in much of the world, this is very normal.
Yes.
But in this country, as we've mentioned, very controversial.
Well, it depends on exactly how you define co-sleeping. And from my standpoint, what it refers to is any situation in which a committed adult caregiver, usually the mother, is in proximity enough to exchange sensory signals and sounds with the baby and can monitor the baby, and vice versa. The baby is aware of the mother's presence, whether they're sleeping on the same or a different surface. There must be something in the way in which it's playing out in contemporary urban Western society that makes it more complex. And indeed, it isn't the co-sleeping that's the problem. It's how it is done and what is involved and what the particular factors are associated with it.
If I could just get your reaction to this new study, which of course was major news for people who follow such thing, a front page story in
Yes.
major newspapers.
There's no evidence in the paper whatsoever that looks at causal factors of babies dying in beds. There's no explanations of how these babies died. They are just very gross characterizations of a baby being in a bed or a crib and they suffocated. What the study does show is that the dramatic decline in SIDS attributed to putting babies on their backs.
SIDS meaning sudden infant death syndrome.
Yes, sudden infant death syndrome attributed to putting babies on their backs is not perhaps a decline, but simply an effect of changing classifications. I can give you one example. A baby having died from sleeping prone in a crib is said to have died from SIDS and is a tragic problem to solve. A baby dying prone, sleeping in a bed-sharing environment, is said to have suffocated, and the remedy for the situation is to eliminate bed-sharing rather than viewing it as a tragic problem to be solved or educating parents as to how to do it safely.
Let me bring the other moms in. Jolene, you 5 boys.
We've done it all, Michelle.
Okay, I was going to say, what were the arrangements?
The first couple of boys, we definitely kept them in their crib and, you know, across the hall in a separate room, and I'd go over and get them out of the bed to nurse them in the middle of the night. By the time I got to the third one, I was pretty darn tired, and that's when I made the decision to bring them into bed with us. And each of the next 3 boys... we did share bed with him for different periods of time. The last one was with us the longest. He was with us until he was 13 months old. And I was the one who was roll over, nurse him on this side, roll over, nurse him on that side, and go back to sleep.
Needless to say, you weren't drinking alcohol.
No.
You weren't taking
Yeah,
any
exactly. And I think
pharmaceuticals.
That's a big problem. But if you're careful, if you're thoughtful about it, I think it can be very safe.
Leslie, what was your 3 kids, your mm-hmm. experience with co-sleeping?
My first child and third child slept really easily in their cribs. And so it was never much of an issue. We had baby monitors so I could hear them at night. Mm-hmm. I breastfed, so anytime they woke up, I kind of leapt out of bed or stumbled out of bed, depending on the evening, and fed them and put them back in their crib. But our second child was really interesting. I always joke that she was a diva from the minute she was born. And she hated to be put down. And my husband was working in another state, and her older brother was only 20 months old, and I was exhausted. So after 3 weeks of trying to have her sleep in a crib, I just said, I give up. I'll do whatever you want. And so I brought her into a bassinet right next to our bed, and she would fall asleep in my bed because she loved to be close to me. It was the only way I could get her to go to sleep. And then I would kind of very gently move her to the bassinet so that there was no chance that I could roll over on her, because I was afraid of that. I thought, you know, I was so tired, I was afraid that I would squish her. But she was close enough that I could touch her with my arm and keep contact with her without her having her actually be in the bed. And it worked really well. And this is so ironic. I don't know if there's any evidence of whether this is causal or not, but she now is the best sleeper in the family. And the other two, who slept in their cribs from the beginning, now they're in our bed almost every night.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Jolene Ivey, Leslie Morgan Steiner, and Dr. James McKenna about co-sleeping. And we have some questions from listeners. We wanted to hear from a mom who's currently grappling with this question of co-sleeping. Fatima Sumar has a one-year-old daughter, and we'll let her tell you. Fatima, are you on the line?
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm better than you because I think I may have gotten more sleep. But tell us, what's your question for Dr. McKenna?
Sure. My daughter, we've been co-sleeping for the last few months, and I've only just started to put her in a different room in a crib, and we're experimenting with that. But my question is, are there any studies that suggest in more long-term that there are emotional benefits from co-sleeping, that children who don't co-sleep with their parents, that there's differences emotionally later on in life?
Yes, actually there finally are studies that can begin to answer this question. Toddlers that have been studied from birth, that is, and divided into two groups. Those children, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, who co-slept with their parents from birth, were, contrary to expectations of the popular culture, they were more independent, more able to be alone, and were innovative and able to solve problems on their own compared with babies that, or toddlers, that were forced to sleep alone. Moreover, there's about 6 or 7 studies that show that people that have a history of having slept with their parents in healthy relationships, of course, from childhood, actually are more comfortable with their gender and sexual identities, more affectionate, have higher levels of self-esteem, and are generally thought to be more resilient when they confront life's typical kinds of problems.
All right, Fatima, we feel your pain. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
We have one more call out to brand new mom Penny Mendoza, and her time is limited because, as we mentioned, her son Ethan is 3 weeks old. So, Penny, what's your question?
Yes, Dr. McKenna, I have been sleeping with the baby in the bed. I don't know if there's a way of ensuring that the baby is safe, because he does sleep next to me, but I don't sleep very well at all. I'm so, you know, subconsciously, I can't really sleep well. I'm
Are you worried that you're going to roll over on him or hurt him? Is that
Yes, and I think, I make sure there's no pillows, no covers or anything near him, but I'm so paranoid all night. I don't know if there's any way that that I can be sure that he's okay and I'd be able to sleep a little sounder.
Now, yes. Dr. McKenna, that leads perfectly to the question I think many people would have, is what's a safe way to do this?
Right. Well, first, let me just comment that, of course, having the baby on a particular co-sleeper attached to your bed with your arm on the baby and caressing the baby, etc., is a beautiful alternative to having the baby on the same surface with you, and everybody agrees with that. So always know that that's a form of co-sleeping. That's not a form of bed sharing, same surface bed sharing. That said, sometimes...
We hear Ethan.
I'm thinking I should walk away from him, but I'm trying to hold his
That's okay. Go ahead, Dr. McKenna. Go ahead.
The most important thing is to know that if you smoke during your pregnancy, it wouldn't be a really good idea to have your baby on in your bed with you, because babies don't have as a good an arousal mechanism to protect themselves. And moreover, obviously, if you're breastfeeding, this sensitizes you and the baby, as our laboratory studies have shown. Enormous differences between a breastfeeding bed-sharing mother-baby pair compared with a bottle-feeding bed-sharing mother-baby
Why
pair.
Why is smoking relevant?
It tends to suppress the abilities of the baby to breathe and to recover from apneas. That's the presumption made. It suppresses an arousal response to any oxygen deprivation or breathing obstruction. I was going to say that it is interesting that, of course, you're very much the candidate for safe bed-sharing, because you worry so much about your baby, you're not about to to overlay your baby, etc. We have found in the laboratory looking at mom's brain waves and the baby's brain waves that even when mother is in her deepest stages of sleep, she can arouse very quickly to respond to a noise or a movement of her infant.
All right, Penny, thank you so much for calling, and good luck with you and Ethan.
Thank you very much, Dr. McKenna.
You're very welcome.
We have some final questions from each of the moms, but Dr. McKenna, I wanted to ask, what kind of response have you gotten to your research over the years?
It's always about the same. We have done over 40 or 50 refereed scientific papers that are published in all the best of medical journals. The science is accepted. The word that comes back is simply that life is too complex, seemingly. This is the argument made that some people are not able to arrange a safe bed-sharing environment for their baby, so no one should be permitted to do it, or we can't have a mixed message. But that's just irrelevant whether it's a mixed message or not. The point is it's absolutely biologically compelling to sleep with your baby, and it's a legitimate choice for parents to make should they be able to do it safely.
Jolene, final thought from you?
Well, actually, I'm just kind of curious with Dr. McKenna. It's so interesting that a man has taken this on as a subject area to study and to write a book about. And I just want to know, did you co-sleep with your babies?
Well, you know, it's a good question. Of course we did, but it was because my wife is an anthropologist as well, and we came to a conclusion. Like all good parents, we read everything we could about how to take care of this new, beautiful little person, and we were led to one of two observations. Either everything we had learned in anthropology was incorrect, or the recommendations about how best to take care of babies had nothing to do with babies and everything to do with recent social cultural ideologies. So we arranged to have the baby's bassinet, our son Jeff, right next to our bed, and he was in and out all night. And as it turned out in our family, and every family is different, we did have a bed for Jeff when he was a year and a half or 2 years, and we'd never worried about where anybody was. I was called in, you know, most of the nights to sleep with him when he was a toddler, etc. In and out, in and out. I loved every single moment of it.
Liar.
No, I loved Michelle every moment of
okay.
it, and I regret that I didn't have more of it. It was just so wonderful.
Well, please do come over and visit anytime you want, and I'll be happy to let you run in and out of my kids' room. Thank you for that, but thank you for sharing. Leslie, final thought from you?
The most important thing is that you follow your own instincts and let your babies know how much you love them.
Leslie Morgan Steiner and Jolene Ivey, our regular Moms contributors, joined us in our studios in Washington. Dr. James McKenna joined us from his office at the University of Notre Dame. I also want to thank our moms who called in. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
And thank you, Michelle.